This is the wealthiest nation in the world. But we're not the healthiest, not by a long shot. Surprise you? Well, let's consider a few facts. If you're an American male, 40 years old, you have less chance of celebrating your 50th birthday than your counterpart in many countries of Western Europe, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand. And your life expectancy at birth would be lower if you happened to be born here than in 20 other countries. If you're a female, you're a little better off, but not that much. Your life expectancy would still be higher in 11 other countries. Here's another shocker. Infant mortality rates in the United States. More babies die here before the age of one than in 13 other countries. If our infant mortality rate were the same as Sweden's, 40,000 fewer babies would have died last year. Think about it. And mothers have a better chance of surviving childbirth in 12 other countries than the mothers of America. This is not just a parade of statistics. It is a national tragedy. No matter how you try to sweep it under the rug, one fact emerges, loud and clear. The richest country in the world is behind other industrialized nations in providing the kind of health care people need. But in one area, we are way ahead. Costs. We spend more for medical care by far than any other nation. In 1969, each of us, every man, woman, and child, paid an average of over $250 for health services. That's more than $1,000 for a family of four. And the rate of increase is staggering. Last year's per person expenditures were double what we paid out in 1960. Health care is the biggest civilian business we have today. As a nation, we lay out more than $60 billion for taking care of our health. Only the military can top that kind of spending. What's wrong? How come we're spending more and getting less? Well, for one thing, inflation is here. It's scaring the daylights out of a lot of people. Take $25 to the supermarket and see what you come home with. But doctors' fees and hospital rates are twice the general inflation. And while we're long on doctors' fees and hospital rates, we are short on doctors and hospital beds. We are in need of more physicians of all types, obstetricians, neurologists, pediatricians, and eye, ear, nose, and throat men, and we desperately need more family physicians. And it's not just doctors. We need more health manpower of all types, dentists, nurses, therapists, technicians, and so forth. And we need to develop new breeds of health manpower to take some of the burden off the physician, extend his arm and his skill. Because even if we go into high gear in producing more physicians now, we'll still have a shortage 10 years from now. That's why it's so important to stop wasting millions of physician man hours each year. We waste our money and we waste his time because we don't have an organized health care system. What we have is a non-system. Our genius for putting together the most efficient industrial production system in the world is responsible for our nation's wealth. We must use this know-how to restructure the delivery of health care to our people. The pieces are all there, but disorganized. The patient is fragmented. Doctors are interested in a specific disease or organ or a particular member of the family, but rarely in the whole patient or the whole family. More and more, doctors are becoming specialists or super specialists. They pass the patient through a so-called referral system that is really no system at all. What is needed is an organized set of services arranged to serve the patient's total needs, not just an accommodation to the doctor. We can go on subsidizing this Model T medical care machine. We can keep pumping more and more of our hard-earned dollars into keeping this old model running on three cylinders. but it doesn't make sense. Not when there are better choices available to us. Alternatively, what we can do is work together to achieve a rational health care system based on a logical method of paying for these services, a national health insurance program. Only national health insurance can provide the leverage and support we need to put the pieces together. Let's face it, the people profiting from the old model with its monopoly pricing don't want to change over. They feel comfortable the way things are. The dent in our purses doesn't hurt them one bit. We must overcome this inertia if we want to bring health care into the 1970s. Not that national health insurance is a new, unproved, radical idea. It's worked well for a long time in other countries. In fact, all of the nations that are ahead of us in health statistics have either national health insurance programs or national health services. Germany started its program under Bismarck way back in 1883. Most industrialized nations began programs following World War II. Great Britain originally established a national health insurance plan in 1911 and began its national health service in 1948. Canada has had national hospital insurance for 10 years and is now moving towards a universal medical care insurance program as well. It is high time that we caught up with the rest of the civilized world. Time for us to take health insurance out of the marketplace, where it serves only to drive up costs and to perpetuate a disjointed, wasteful, and non-productive non-system of health care. Of course, we don't have to copy any of the systems set up in other countries. As a matter of fact, we shouldn't. The problem is American, and the solution must be uniquely American. We prize the freedom of the individual, but we have bolted the door for millions of Americans, depriving them of the choice of joining a family health care plan. Some organized prepaid patient care programs, Community Health Association in Detroit, New York's Health Insurance Plan, and the Kaiser Plans on the West Coast, have demonstrated a record of high quality and economical performance, but they're just not available to millions of Americans. Why? Chalk it up to the opposition of the medical industrial complex, the people who are dedicated to preserving the old solo practice model of medical locomotion. They have barred progress on the health care front. Under national health insurance, more choices in the form of new and innovative health plans would be created. Teams of physicians working together and using skilled technicians to extend their productivity would form all over the country. Incentives would be provided to doctors to work together rather than in solo practice. Incentives to focus their efforts on comprehensive health care for consumers. Paperwork that has become so burdensome and time-consuming for physicians would be handled by the office staff. Consumers could select a physician of their choice or a group practice program where it was available. In the group practice program, they would choose a family physician who would provide service directly and manage the family's use of the various kinds of specialist care needed. And every specialist providing care would be qualified to do so. Surgery would not be performed by non-qualified surgeons, as so frequently happens now. As the plans develop, house calls would cease to be the problem it is now. Health care services would be available right in the community on a 24-hour-a-day, 7-days-a-week basis. And people would come for services before they got sick. Illness would be averted or diseases diagnosed earlier. The result? Lives would be saved. Men, women, and children would be encouraged to use their program for preventive care, for regular checkups, health screenings, preventive dental services, mental health programs, and child health care. There would be no financial barriers to preventive care as there are today. And national health insurance would assure full financial protection for all against the costs of illness and injury. Today, private health insurance covers only 36% of the nation's total bill for personal health services, and the percentage has barely inched forward through the years. Today, 100 million Americans have no coverage of medical costs unless they're hospitalized. 24 million don't even have hospitalization coverage. As consumers, we would not only have a stake in the development and administration of national health insurance, but a voice as well. At the national level, funds to provide for the benefits would be collected through the Social Security system. There would be a payroll tax to finance part of the benefits and contributions from general tax funds to pay for the rest. Employers would still be permitted to assume all or part of the employee contributions, but the employer would be relieved of the burden of private health premiums and their endless increases. The employee would be better off. The savings under national health insurance could be translated into increased wages or other benefits. And these savings could mount once the health insurance program got into high gear. There's no reason why it couldn't eventually cover the entire range of services needed, including dental care, as well as the treatment of illness and rehabilitation services. Today, even in the best private plans, only about 60% of all health care costs are covered. The rest has to be paid out of pocket or out of the bank account. Too many people have learned to their sorrow that no one has enough of a cushion against the cost of illness. And since private health insurance is subsidizing our wasteful, inefficient, non-system of health care, every year or so the carriers ask for and get whopping premium increases without commensurate improvement in coverage. There it is. We can go on the way we've been going. The doctor shortage will get worse. Adequate health care will be harder to come by and costlier. Our health statistics will reflect even more dismal facts. We'll fall further behind other countries. Or we can work for national health insurance to cut waste and bring medical costs under control. Most important of all, to make sure that the needs of all Americans for modern, high-quality personal health care are effectively met.